Are annuities the best product since sliced bread or a house of mirrors? Or could they be both? Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and one man's trash is another man's treasure. So which of those are annuities? I'll talk about it today with Mike Miller, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance Live, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always great to have my friend Mike Miller on the program. Mike is a partner and senior private wealth advisor at the South Carolina office of Ronald Blue Trust. He's also a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. And Mike, it's great to have you back with us.
Oh, it's always good to be with you, Rob. I just appreciate what you and your team and of course, the sponsors, we have to have them to put this great information. I mean, people just crave information that's not tainted with sales.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I know it's fun to have a fellow broadcaster on the program. You've been in this space of biblical finance on the airwaves for a long time, so I'm delighted we get to chat today. Mike, as you might imagine, we constantly get calls about annuities, despite the fact I've made it no secret that I'm not a fan in most cases. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. You knock one down, another one pops up. So I guess we should maybe take an objective look at annuities, and maybe to start, we can tackle this first question, and that is, what is the main problem with any investment that guarantees returns? And that would include annuities.
Well, number one rule, guarantees cost something.
Yeah.
There's always trade-offs. I had a radio listener that called some years ago that said, I just don't like annuities because I don't like the idea of paying someone else just to give me my money back.
Yeah.
And I've seen that way too many times where somebody really thought they were going to get X return, and then it ended up being hardly anything that they got. And some are better than others, of course, but sure. You really have to understand what kind of cost those guarantees really are.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's always a cost with a guarantee. That's takeaway number one. Let's look at this through a biblical lens. I know you approach everything you do that way. We, of course, won't find the word annuities in the Bible, but perhaps there's a biblical principle involved with investing in annuities. What would that be?
Well, we've all heard of most people have heard of the parable of the talents. So you had in Matthew 25, where the master is leaving, and he gives one 5, one 2, and one 1. It's interesting that he says, I gave it to them each according to his ability, which is important to know. And then in verse 25, he says, you know, when he comes back and speaking to the one who had the one talent that hid it in the ground and didn't do anything with it, why did you do that? Well, I was afraid. And went away and hid your talent in the ground. So I think that's a key thing that when it comes to annuities, many times they are sold from a fear side. We're fearful of this. So we ended up really maybe not being the best steward because of that fear.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned being sold an annuity, and that's, I think, one of the key points we need to look at, because when I get calls about annuities, it's not because somebody's saying, I think I need one of these. It's because somebody has told them they need one of these. So perhaps what should folks ask themselves when someone tries to sell them an annuity?
And you're absolutely right. They are always sold. I don't know anybody that ever just bought one. They're sold. So I'd think through questions like, well, does the salesman have other options, or it's annuities or nothing. Yeah. So if that's all they have, well, then, you know, you're going to fit any square peg and round hole, whatever. You know, it's not always going to be the right thing. Are they trying to get you to put a large portion of your money in it? So that's a huge red flag. I mean, because you ought to diversify. Even if you end up getting an annuity, I've seen too many people that put these large chunks in just one annuity. They don't even diversify by different types of annuities, which they should. And another one is, does it feel like the person's selling something because they're up for a contest and they're really trying to win a contest? I think you can sense that sometimes. Like, okay, that's really, they're selling it. They want you to buy it for them, not for you.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And so we need to unpack this, Mike, and just around the corner, we'll actually take a step back and really ask you to describe the three basic types of annuities. We'll look at both fixed as well as the variable and the indexed annuities, and then the two phases associated with those, both the accumulation and the distribution. We'll talk about the pros and cons. We'll even look at some of these riders, specifically around the area of generating income. In a volatile market, we have a lot of interest in annuities. So what do you need to know, and are they the right solution for you? Mike Miller with us today. Mike is partner and senior private wealth advisor at the South Carolina office of Ronald Blue Trust, and much more to come just around the corner. Stick around. We'll be right back. Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. Joining me today is Mike Miller. Mike is partner and senior private wealth advisor at the South Carolina office of Ronald Blue Trust. He's a certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor. And today we're talking about annuities. What do you need to know? And perhaps are they the right solution for you, or do you need to stay away? Mike, as we continue to unpack this, perhaps we ought to really bring some definition to annuities for those that maybe aren't familiar with these products or they're confused. So perhaps start with the three basic types.
Yeah, my sister was being sold or tried to be sold an annuity down in Florida, and she called and asked me about it. And I said, well, what kind is it? Well, I don't know, she said. So people don't know what they have. So the fixed annuity, the variable, which is the most basic, and then a variable, and then an indexed annuity, which is probably, last I saw, the most popular one that's being sold the most. And they all, you know, can have accumulation part where you accumulate at different rates, and then they all have different kinds of ways to distribute those funds once you retire or whenever you want to take out the money.
Yeah, exactly. And so obviously in a market like this, Mike, when we're seeing a lot of downward pressure and the prospect of a recession looming and folks are seeing their 401ks decline, perhaps they maybe were allocated slightly aggressively for their age towards stocks and they're close to retirement. This can seem attractive for somebody in that position, right?
Oh, obviously, yeah. When things go down, they think, oh, I need to do something that prevents this. If they had invested properly, where they were in really income phases, where they kept some conservative money for the first couple years of needs, and then had a little more aggressive money, some bonds or something like that, for the second phase of income needs, and then the long-term money was in that part that's the most volatile in stocks and so forth, where they knew that was long-term money, then the ups and downs is still not fun, but it still shouldn't bother you as much because it's money you're really confident that you're not going to need for 8 to 10 years plus.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, well, you mentioned the three types of annuities, fixed, variable, and indexed. Let's talk about the fixed annuities first. Give us the pros and the cons.
Well, the fixed annuities actually have gotten some more pros now. And as we hear the Fed increasing interest rates, keep in mind that that positively affects things like money markets and fixed annuities because these companies can start paying higher interest rates. And when you look at any annuity, whether it's a fixed, a variable, or index, you want to look really at what are the guarantees. I mean, that's what you're buying it for, the guarantees. So it's nice to see these fixed rates going up to where it's unfortunately, they don't do like they used to do in my early years of my career, where they would say, I'm going to give you a 5% guarantee for the life of the contract. Now it's probably 5%, but it's for 3 years or 5 years or something like that. So that's a big positive. There's usually a higher guarantee in fixed annuities than there is in the other types of annuities.
Okay. And what are the downsides?
Well, downside would been when interest rates fluctuate, it goes down. So up to until the last year or so, the downside was you get nothing if you invest in one. And now you get something for it, but it's going to be limited for 5 years. So the restrictions, of course, you have with all annuities applies to fixed as well as the indexed and the variable. If you try to get it out earlier than the surrender period allows you to, you're going to be penalized a lot. So there's definitely a liquidity risk in all annuities. Matter of fact, there's a people don't like to hear this, but there's a guaranteed loss with annuities. As long as there's a surrender charge, that's a guaranteed loss. You can't get all of your money out without a big charge. And a lot of the agents will come back and say, oh, yeah, but you don't really need that money. You're not planning on touching it. Well, my comeback to that is, well, then why don't you invest it the same place the insurance company's investing it? And yeah, it's going to go down some. It might look like it's lost its value, but it's going to come back because you don't need it because you're not going to touch it. If you touch it when it's down, of course, you lose. But if you don't, hey, it comes back up.
Yeah, helpful. All right, you talked about fixed annuities. Let's move to indexed annuities. You mentioned that these perhaps, at least now, are sold more than the other two. What should folks know about indexed annuities?
Well, you really need to understand the guarantee. The proposal that you get typically with an indexed annuity agent is one that shows the zero downside if the market's down. And then they'll show you past history of what the annuity would have done had it earned a certain rate of return percentage of the markets over that time. But then you get back to, well, wait a minute, I'm trying to get away from that market risk, and now you're really telling me I'm not going to make money unless the market goes up. Yeah. So it's really, you have to understand really what that guarantee is, because there's a definite a lot of risk that you can't pay somebody 6-8% to sell you an annuity and not have it affect you someplace. You just don't see it, and the average person thinks when they read the brochures, oh, that looks great, but you know, it's not as good as it looks. It's kind of like cotton candy. It looks pretty good, but once you bite it, yeah, it's kind of gone.
All right, let's move along to variable annuities. How do they work, Mike?
So variable annuities have better upside because you're actually investing in some mutual fund type accounts. So you can put them in growth stocks and things like that. They don't have the downside protection unless you buy one of those income riders that you can put on those. But that I call that more monopoly money than I call it anything else. But yeah, there's higher potential upside, but more potential downside as well.
Yeah. Anything else we need to know about those income riders you mentioned?
Well, the income riders are, be really careful when you're reading their material, because they'll give you like sometimes an upfront bonus, or they'll say you're going to increase your account by 6%. But this is all typically in this income bucket. And the income bucket is different than your account bucket. The income bucket is not going to be available to you as a lump sum. It's going to have to come out to you over some period of time. And the ones I've looked at said, okay, I've accumulated 4 to 10 years in my income bucket, then I'm going to take a 4 or 5% distribution for the next the rest of my life. Well, if you think about it, it's going to take you 20 years to get your money back. So if you were 65 when you started, you're 75 when you start the distribution, you're going to be 95, you know, when by the time you just get your money back. Well, how long are you going to live? So yeah, watch out. Think through some of those things and see what the guarantees really are.
Well, there's no question that annuities are complicated. So perhaps as we wrap up today, maybe you can simplify things a bit. Who should consider buying an annuity and who shouldn't?
I wish I could simplify that. it's not that easy to do. But in most cases, I recommend folks just invest in the same types of investment that the insurance companies. You know, maybe it's a total bond index fund or something that's very inexpensive to get into. There's no commissions. That's what the insurance company is investing in. Probably 65% of their investments, or 70%, are in just high quality long term bonds. Yeah. And the other type of person that may need one, had a client years ago, this is probably 20 years ago or longer, when interest rates were actually higher then. And I had this one client that he needed to protect himself against himself. If he didn't have his money in something that was locked up, he was going to spend it all. So it's the only one in my whole career that I said, you need to buy an annuity and annuitize it so you get a monthly income so you don't spend it all. high tax rate taxpayers would be another one, because if they've maxed out the retirement, the IRA options, other retirement plans, they still need some tax deferral. Yeah. This is a way to get some tax deferral and get more benefit from it, because it's obviously accumulating tax deferred. It's not tax free, but it is tax deferred. And that could be a benefit, but I think for most people, there are better ways to get a guarantee.
I love it. Well, that's been really helpful, Mike. A wealth of information on annuities. Really grateful to have you stop by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me with you today, Rob. Go to TalkingMoneyRadio.com, and you can learn more about annuities right there.
That's exactly right. If you want to learn even more, and we just scratched the surface, Mike's two-part podcast on the topic at TalkingMoneyRadio.com is just what you're looking for. Hey, we're going to take your calls next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance Live. We'll be right back.
Offered during this program represent the personal or professional opinions of the participants, given for informational purposes only. Any information provided is not intended to replace advice from a financial, medical, legal, or other professional who understands your specific situation.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. The number 800
800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. The calls are coming in, but we've got room for you, at least at the moment. So whatever you're thinking about in your financial life, we'd like to help you run it through the lens of biblical wisdom, applying a biblical worldview to everything we talk about here on Moody Radio. And that certainly includes God's money and our management of it. Our goal as stewards is to be found faithful, because once we give our lives to Jesus as Lord and Savior, we trust Him for salvation, the free gift of eternal life. Then it's about stewardship, managing our time and our relationships and God's Word and being stewards of God's money that's been entrusted to us, however much or however little, finding contentment, using it to provide and enjoy and also to give away, to be a part of God's activity. We want to do that as a faithful steward, being it's long obedience in the same direction, as you've heard it said, and that's our goal here on this program. So we'd love to hear from you today. The number to call again is 800-525-7000. We'll see if we can help you tackle your financial questions today. We know that as you live, give, owe, and grow, especially now when things are tighter than ever, we certainly want to help you make those practical decisions. So let's dive in. We'll begin in Indianapolis today. Greg, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for taking the call. Just looking to do some little bit of investing kind of my own as a little hobby. I'm already had some 401ks and different investments at the different companies and with advisors and well diversified in that. But just now and set enough financially of looking to maybe just invest around, say, 100 a month or something. Just more for myself and just to kind of pass time.
Yeah. Okay. So it's almost a hobby of sorts, but you are looking to grow this money over time. Is that right?
Yeah. Just, I know it wouldn't be much because I don't have much extra, but like I said, just gives me a little something to do as I listen to your radio shows and others that just always curious about, you know, the stocks and bonds, the do's and don'ts. I think
sure.
You were talking about annuities and may not really be the thing to buy, so I wouldn't have known that had I not heard from the segment you just had.
Yes. Yeah, very good. And in terms of the investing that you want to do, I mean, typically when we're talking about a smaller amount of money, like $100 a month, we would try to get broader diversification through the use of various investment vehicles, like what's called an exchange-traded fund. Think of that as a basket of stocks or maybe a basket of stocks that represent a broad market index. Like maybe you've heard of the Dow Jones 30 industrial stocks or the S&P 500, the Standard & Poor's. That's the 500 largest companies here in the U.S. So that's one way to get broad diversification by owning a very small percentage of a lot of different companies. Another way to do that is through what's called a mutual fund. It's very similar to an ETF. It just doesn't trade tick by tick like a stock does in the same way an ETF does. You get the net asset value of all of the holdings at the end of every day. So again, a way you could take a small amount of money and buy a large number of investments. Now, in some cases, though, if somebody's looking at this like a hobby and they're saying, listen, I want to buy companies with real sales and earnings, taking a long-term perspective and hoping that my money will grow over time, but I'm doing it in part because it's something that I'm thinking I'm going to enjoy, and therefore I actually want to be able to pick the individual companies I'm buying, and so therefore I'd want to buy what are called fractional shares, but where you're actually selecting the companies you're investing in. Is that the type of thing you're looking for, or would you rather buy a basket of investments through an ETF or a mutual fund?
I think it's more on the line what you're talking about that would be interested in doing. So some of these I've never heard about the mutual, the fractional. Didn't know if there's websites you go to or just how you kind of get started and get out there on the web to searching these out.
Yeah, very good. So let's do this. I think you're right in that the education is probably the starting point. And keep in mind, I mean, the Bible talks about the right way to think about investing in terms of something called steady plodding. So we don't want to try to jump in and out and, you know, move, you know, based on the gyrations of the stock market in days or months. You really want to take a decades long approach to this. So you're buying for the long term, and that's really the more prudent way to go. Let's do this. The first resource I'm going to actually send you in the mail is our gift to you. It's a resource called the Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And I think that will give you a good primer on investing from a biblical worldview and really unpack a lot of the different types of investing tools. And then secondly, I want to give you a website to go to. It's actually the same name. You'll go to soundmindinvesting.org. And you'll find that you can search all kinds of articles and resources there at SMI. Some of them are going to require that you be an SMI member. Others are free. But I think between the book we'll send you and that website, that's going to get you going just in terms of some education that'll be pointing you in the right direction. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, very good. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. If you have questions along the way, Greg, don't hesitate to give us a call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have several lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Catherine, go right ahead. Oh, you know what, Catherine? It looks like we're having a little trouble getting you on, and I'm up against a break. So let's do this. You stay right there. We'll get that line cleared up, and we'll get your question just on the other side. Several lines are open today, 800-525-7000. We still have half of our broadcast left, so plenty of time to perhaps tackle your question today. You know, folks, the big idea here is once we understand God owns it all, we want to live within our means, have some cushion or margin, set long-term goals, but giving generously is key because that's going to loosen the grip of money over your life. Much more to come just around the corner here on Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around. Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance Live here on Moody Radio. All the lines are full, so let's go right back to the phones. We'll head to Cleveland. Catherine, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. How can I help you?
Thanks for taking my call. My question is, how can I determine how much the tax will be upon the capital gain in selling my property?
Yes. So is this your primary residence, Catherine?
Well, it isn't right now, but it has been within the last 5 years.
Okay. So it sounds like you're familiar with this capital gains exemption where the IRS says...
Just a little bit. Okay. Not much.
Yeah. So as long as it was your primary residence, and that was the case for 2 out of the last 5 years, the most recent 5-year period, if you were living in this as your primary residence for 2 of those 5-year periods, and you've not taken this exclusion for any other home in the last 2 years, then you would have, as a single filer, up to $250,000 in gains that would not be subject to capital gains tax. Or if you're filing married filing jointly, you'd have up to $500,000 in gains. Now, your original question was, how do you determine the gain? Well, that's going to come from taking your selling price of the home and subtracting your original purchase price, plus certain expenses that went into selling it, plus any improvements you made on the property. Not regular maintenance, but improvements that improve the value of the property. So we're not talking about replacing a roof that was at the end of its useful life, but if you added an addition or you put a pool in, well, those are improvements that are going to increase the cost basis. So when you take the selling price minus the original purchase price, minus any improvements, minus certain costs, that would leave you with your capital gain, the gain that you had on that asset, which is a piece of property. And then if you live there 2 out of the last 5 years as your primary residence, then you can exclude the first either $250,000 or $500,000 of that. And then if you have gains that go beyond that, then that's where the capital gains rate would come in. If you owned it for more than a year, which you did, then it would be long-term capital gains of either 0, 15%, or 20%. But let me just back up and say, you know, did you have gains beyond either 250 or 500, depending on whether you're single or married?
No, not that much, no.
Okay, great. So then you would be exempt so long as you live there 2 out of the last 5 years.
Pardon me?
so that you would be exempt from any capital gains tax being due if, in fact, you lived in this home for 2 out of the last 5 years.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome, Catherine. Thank you for calling today. One line open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Grand Rapids. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi. So my situation is my parents had annuities as investments, and they have both passed away now. And so we closed those accounts. Some of these are listed as non-qualified. Some of them are listed as Roth IRAs. So how does it work with taxes if it's an annuity that's a Roth IRA? And then they're all inheritance, and it seems like I'm being told that all of us children are going to have to pay some of these taxes.
Yeah, very good. You are correct. So with qualified money, whether you receive it as a traditional IRA, 401k, or annuity that's tax-deferred, meaning it went in pre-tax, then as you take it out, you will pay the tax on it. I would get with your CPA to determine for each of you, your portion, how quickly that money needs to come out. And if you're not looking to get the money right now and you want to minimize taxes, you could spread out those payments over time, often over 5 years, could be even longer than that, could be even stretching it out over the rest of your life. So that's where you'll want to talk to your CPA. There is such thing as a Roth IRA annuity, and it's where you fund an annuity with after-tax Roth IRA contributions, which means that you're putting after-tax dollars in, it grows tax-free, and therefore it would come out tax-free. And so you are going to want to use that tax professional to determine, first of all, what do I have? What types of annuities are they? And is this, you know, was it funded with after-tax money through a Roth IRA? Was it funded with pre-tax money? And then based on my age, life expectancy, and so forth, how quickly do I need to take this out? And what portion of it would be subject to tax? And they'll be able to tell you all of that.
The CPA should be able to tell me all that?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because these are all IRS rules and regs. So the IRS says over what time period do you need to take it out? And that's, you know, dealing with the IRS, that's where a certified public accountant is most skilled in that area. And then depending on what types of annuities these are, and the annuity company will furnish that and how the money went in, that will tell the CPA how to plan for the taxes that will be due, if any, on the money as it comes out. So this is all under the purview of a CPA.
Okay, but we closed all of the accounts and put them into the trust because that my parents had set up a trust. So we closed it all, put it into a trust. So we got the 1099s and everything. And the investment company, some of them, they're saying amount taxed is not determined. And that's on like some non-qualified of the annuities. So.
Okay. Well, you know, almost any property can be placed in a trust. And that, you know, includes annuities. And so, you know, just because it's in the trust, that will dictate, you know, after the passing of the grantor who set up the trust, who receives what portion of the trust. But the assets inside it, you know, may be subject to taxes as the money comes out. And that's where you're going to need a professional to determine exactly what you have in there. What are those assets that have been placed in the trust? And then how are they going to be taxed as they come out?
Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to need a professional here. This is not something we're going to be able to solve over the radio. It really is going to require a professional to look at what are the assets in the trust, who received what portion, and then as the assets are distributed, what taxes are due based on what types of, you know, assets are being held in the trust. And that's where, you know, having a professional to really nail all this down, whether that's an existing person you're with or somebody who has a bit more skill and expertise in this area to help you decipher what's there and what tax liability you'll have. Ultimately, anything that you will owe to the IRS as a result of these assets that you've received through the inheritance would be able to be determined by a CPA in concert with whatever, you know, in the case of the annuities, with the insurance company that provided the annuities that can provide all the necessary documentation. So I think that's your next step, Susan, as you work through all of this. You'll be able to figure it out, but this is where wise counsel is obviously really important. We appreciate your call today. All the best to you in the days ahead. Well, folks, we're going to take another break here in just a moment, but Steve is waiting patiently in Tampa. We'll talk to Brandon in Danville, Indiana. He's wanting to know how to introduce his kids to finances. They're 7 and 5. I love that because, you know, we're preparing future adults and more is caught than taught. So the big idea there, at least initially, is what are we modeling for our kids? We'll talk about that. And then we'll head to New York and talk to Sarah. She's debt-free and wants to sell her condo and downsize, or she wants to be debt-free, and she can do that perhaps by downsizing. So we'll weigh what that might look like in her life. Folks, you know, as we think about our role in managing God's money, it's a high calling. Think about this. You and I, we're money managers for the King of Kings. So we want to get it right. It doesn't need to be scary, or we need to have any anxiety around it. We just need to look to God's Word, the source of truth. We'll be back with much more just around the corner. Stick around. Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. Well, imagine if at the beginning of the year, every year, you had to say how the market and the economy was going to do over the balance of the year, and then somebody graded you on it along the way. Well, welcome to Bob Dahl's world. Bob is Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He joins us each week with his market commentary, and he's well known for his 10 predictions. But Bob, when you make predictions, I guess you have to see how you're doing periodically, huh?
Yes, you do. And early in the year, it's easy because you put a lot of question marks. Too soon to tell.
Right.
It's the end of the year when it's actually done, Rob, where we actually get an outside grader that looks at us. And that's when it's tough to look in the mirror and say, you got that wrong, really?
But so far, so good, because I'm seeing a little bit of green on the screen here as I look at your 10 predictions. But just give us kind of a broad brush overview as you think about where we started the year and how you thought the year was going to unfold. You know, here we are 4 months in. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so we'll start since you brought up the predictions. Our prediction on the market was stocks record new highs and then at some point fade. So we've had the new highs. The question is, will we get the fade? And as you undoubtedly know, for the last week or two, it's gone sort of sideways. And we're not used to that. We're so spoiled because the market, from the end of October until a couple of weeks ago, basically went straight up. Yeah. Market seems to be changing character a bit, Rob. It's, you know, I use the phrase, it's tired, like you and me. If we go hard for a while, we get tired. Market's a little tired, needs a rest. We'll see if it's more than a rest or not. And what will determine that is, what are these inflation numbers the next couple of days going to look like? What are the earnings that are going to start coming out fast and furious going to look like? And what are companies saying about the balance of their year? There'll be the things determined. Do we go back up? Do we go sideways? Or do we take a break?
Yeah, two other ones, Bob, that a lot of people care about have to do with inflation and the job market. Let's talk about inflation. You said in your prediction the 2 to 3% inflation ceiling of the 2010s is going to become the 2 to 3% inflation floor of the 2020s. It certainly looks like that's where we're headed, huh?
Yeah, the Fed wants 2% inflation, and I say good luck. Absent a recession, I don't see how it's possible to get our inflation rate back to 2%. You know, structural economists, not to overbore your listeners, said last decade because of technology, demographics, and trade, the inflation rate in the U.S. made sense to be in the 2% area. But those same economists argue now, those same variables point to, they use the number 2.75%. I round it to 3. So 3% inflation is not horrible unless you expect it to.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Bob, and then what about the unemployment rate and where you see the job market headed?
So among the reasons the economy has done just fine, thank you, has been the rosy picture around jobs. We've had good job growth, no question about it. In fact, we just recorded our 25th month in a row of unemployment below 4.5%. So if that stays like that, people will be very happy about not only the fact they're working, but also about the economy overall. Our guess is, and we're seeing signs of cracking in the labor market, that we will see some slowdown in job growth, which will push the unemployment rate up to a still very low 4.5%. We haven't had a lot of periods where we stayed below it for that long. So we see some weakness coming, and we're starting to see lower-end consumers begin to struggle. They're taking some money out of their credit cards to live. There's even some evidence of 401k rating to live. They're not healthy items, as you know.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, I know we're expecting another key inflation report this week, so we'll look for that and get your update next week. Bob, we always appreciate your time.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Quickly back to the phones to Tampa, Florida. Hi, Steve. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm 58 years old, and I'm looking to retire either 62, 65, if I can make it. I do have some savings and some investments. I have, I'd say, Raymond James, the brokerage account. It was inherited. I got about $500,000 there. And I got a Charles Schwab IRA, Roth IRA, mostly invested in NVIDIA, about $100,000 there. So... And then I have a condo that's paid for about $260,000. And I'm just trying to, just wondering if it'd be a good idea to kind of cash out what I have in the Raymond James, not necessarily the Charles Schwab, just to kind of sit on it a little while and see what the markets do, because it feels like the stock markets are like just really high right now. And I would hate to go back down that into that decrease and then lose all those gains that I had made the last couple of years.
Yeah, I can appreciate that, Steve, although I would counsel you against what you just described. We'll get to that in a second. Who's overseeing the $500,000 at Raymond James? Is somebody managing that, or is it just kind of parked there?
No, I do have a financial advisor, and there's a team.
Okay. Very good.
It was my aunt's brokerage account that I inherited from her. It's the same team in Chicago. I live in Tampa. They're pretty good. They're actually pretty good.
Okay. You know, here's my take on it. I mean, is the market, sky high right now? Certainly. I mean, we just hit an all-time high not too long ago. And it's kind of priced in a near-perfect situation. And the world is everything but perfect right now, geopolitically and otherwise. So is there room for some downside here, especially if we hit a recession? Absolutely. The challenge is, and all the studies back this up, Steve, the moment you try to pick the entry and exit point of the market. Number one, that's really not the biblical model for investing, which is steady plotting. And number two, the data just says that's a losing proposition, that you can't pick the entry and exit points, that you're going to react emotionally, and undoubtedly you will enter at the wrong time and exit at the wrong time. Even if you get out now and we do have a recession and the market pulls back, when do you get back in? And, you know, you're going to second guess yourself all day, and for good reason, because there's no way for you to determine that. Even the best investors and economists on Wall Street don't know what the market's going to do in the short run, but they do know and are counting on the long run. And so if you're properly diversified, I mean, here's the thing. You're 50. I mean, even once you hit retirement, which is still a decade and a half away, let's say, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, I mean, you could live well into your 90s. So you potentially have, you know, 4 or 5 decades of investing ahead of you. And given what we just talked about with Bob Dahl with inflation, the way you offset that and miss out on the erosion of your purchasing power is by having some assets that can appreciate. And that's not under your mattress, and that's not trying to jump in and out of the market, and that's not being highly concentrated, with all due respect, in kind of the latest darling of Wall Street, which happens to be NVIDIA because of AI. I mean, that's just, it's going to be way too volatile. Yeah, you look great right now, but what happens when it pulls back 25% on a single day or something like that? So I think, you know, my counsel to you, and again, I appreciate everything you're saying. My counsel to you would be to say, let's take a step back. Let's make sure you're not overly concentrated in one stock. Let's make sure you have the right mix of assets, which for somebody at 50 years old is probably at least 60% in stocks, maybe more. And the balance in maybe some gold and fixed income, which will do well as interest rates head down. And then as long as you're properly diversified with good investment advisors overseeing it, then you kind of take the long-term perspective, even when we hit the recession. Because, you know, those people that got out right at the beginning of the pandemic as the market was headed down, they missed the fastest rise to a bull market in history. And that's just a case in point on how you can't pick the entry and the exit points. Instead, you properly diversify, you take the long view, and you stay invested. That's my best counsel. You know, at the end of the day, you're the steward and you've got to make that call. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it does make sense, actually. I am 58, so okay. I'll be looking to retire a bit sooner than a decade and a half. But no,
you still got, you know, 3 to 4 decades, Lord willing, until he calls you home. It could be tomorrow, but with longevity on your side, you know, it could be when you're 100, too. So, you know, I think that's at least the key to think about. But I appreciate your call today. Thanks for checking in with us. Let's go quickly to Danville. Brandon, I know you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife and I have a 5, 7, and really an 18-month-old as well. And I've broken what I would call generational cycles of poverty, and we are doing well for ourselves. We've got a footing under us. A lot of that knowledge I've come into later in life, and so we are trying to be intentional about helping our boys create a foundation that they can build off of financial knowledge and management of money for saving and giving and spending. But we're kind of spinning our wheels and going back and forth on the best way to do that. Didn't know if you'd have any recommendations.
Yeah, you know, a couple of thoughts here. Number one is, you know, more is caught than taught. I mean, Howard Dayton, a former host of this program, talks about being an MVP parent. And for him, that means modeling. What are we modeling? Are we modeling living on a budget? Are we modeling giving generously? What are we modeling? Because the way we view money is largely determined by the age of 9. And so it's a product of our environment. V is verbal communication. What are we talking about with our kids? And then third is the P is practical examples. We gave our kids the eating out portion of our budget one month and just watched them realize how quickly the money went. And as they negotiated through where we were going to eat out that month, it was a great learning experience. So I would start there. Secondly, I want to send you a book. It's called Trusted. It's from our friend Matt Bell, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. He did that book in partnership with Focus on the Family. Stay on the line. We'll send it to you as our gift. You sound like a great dad, Brandon. Thanks for calling today. God bless you. Faith and Finance Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and Faith 5. Thank you to Taylor, Dan, Amy, and Gabby T. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.